reading to you from the Acts, the 24th chapter and the 25th verse. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, listen. I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be the best roofing contractor Seattle ever had. But you know, God changed my mind. Oh, I'm so glad he did. Has it been easy? Absolutely not. I've had to work all my Christian life to preach. That's right. I sure have. And I don't feel like a martyr. I don't feel any better than the pastor that gets a salary. In fact, I think every good pastor should get a salary. Every evangelist should get paid. But you know, I know what God called me to do. Prisons, rescue missions, the down and outers. That's what I'm called a minister to. Well, I'll be with you for 29 minutes tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to speak on the subject of transformation versus reformation. Now, religion is man's effort to reach up to God, but salvation is God coming down to man and making him a new creation. Let me give you an example, a true example, and I'm really not proud to do this, but it has to make a point. As you know, I was really a terrible alcoholic for many years. And it was getting so bad that our marriage was so on the rocks, it was pathetic. And we just fussed all the time. And my wife was so confused. She said, "Cecil, why? Why don't you quit drinking?" Well, if I could have, I would have, but I didn't think I could. I didn't think there was anything that I could do to cause me to quit drinking. Anyway, I decided in myself that I was going to quit drinking just to bring peace and quietness to my home. So I quit drinking for about 6 weeks. I was very miserable. I was very unhappy. One day I got to thinking about my dear friends over at the bar. And I thought, I wonder if when I got off work tonight, tomorrow, I'd stop at the bar and go in and have a Coca-Cola and maybe play a game of shuffleboard and maybe play a record on old Hank Williams' "You're a Cheating Heart" and go home. I couldn't hardly wait till the next night. Well, I got home. I got off work, and I went to the bar. Everybody was there to greet me. "Cecil, where have you been?" "Well, I'm straightening up. I'm reforming my life. I'm quitting drinking." "Oh, sure. No, I am. I've got to do it if I'm going to keep my marriage together." Well, I drank a Coca-Cola. I played Hank Williams' song, "You're a Cheating Heart." I played a game of shuffleboard, and I went home just as proud as a peacock. My wife was wrong. I am not an alcoholic. Well, I laid in bed that night, and I thought, I wonder if I'd do that again tomorrow. Maybe I could just drink one 10-cent glass of beer, and maybe that would be all right. Oh, I couldn't wait till the next day, and I got over there, I went and I bought a 10-cent glass of beer, played my Your Cheating Heart, played a game of shuffleboard, and I went home so proud of myself. Boy, this Reformation stuff is really, really working. Uh-oh, one more time I'm going to do this. And then, friends, it happened. The next night I stopped. Not only did I drink one, I drank 100, I guess. When I got home, I was so stinking drunk I couldn't see. My heart was broken. My wife's heart was broken because I knew it was ruining our life and our marriage. Well, you see, friends, that was Reformation. But tonight I'd like to speak about transformation. Excuse me. We read in Acts 5:15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick under the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Did you know Peter was a profane fisherman, cursed like a parrot, just like most people do before they're saved? And my stars, in the morning he failed the Lord. He did so many dumb things. And yet, the day of Pentecostal, when God wanted a man to speak for him, he sought out Peter, the profane fisherman. Oh, dear friends, Peter got up there, filled with God's blessed Holy Spirit, and he preached unto them Jesus. Several thousand, 5,000 one place, 4,000 one place were saved. But Peter was God's man. Why was that? Because God knew Peter's heart. Friends, listen. You might be considering yourself a nobody. You go to church and they'll nod at you and they'll smile at you. But you don't teach a Sunday school class. You're not a deacon. And you don't think you're smart enough to know anything about the Bible, so they just pass you by. Oh, dear friends, when you're transformed by the precious blood of Jesus, you are somebody. Yes, you are. You're very important. Why don't you ask the Lord tonight, Lord, show me what you want for my life. Just going to church is not going to get it. I know a lot of people that they're so in love with their church, they don't even know that Jesus exists. What? That's right. They just love their church. They just love their pastor. They just love their deacon and their Sunday school teachers. And that's as far as it goes. They don't reach out to nobody. They don't witness to nobody. Oh, friend, your Christianity's a joke. Read the Bible and see what God has for people who love him. You remember in Mark 5:15, and they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. When Jesus and his disciples went out to the island of Gadara, and no doubt Jesus knew there was somebody out there he was supposed to go see. Sure enough, here was this demoniac. Man, he was in terrible shape. He'd throw himself in the fire. The chains wouldn't hold him. But, you know, Jesus called out those demons. And the next scene, we see Jesus and his disciples going down to the ship to leave. And Jesus turned around and looked, and here, bless your soul, was that demoniac. And he said, Jesus said, where are you going? Oh, Jesus, I want to follow you and your disciples. No, son, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back and tell your loved ones and your family and friends what I have done for you. Now, friends, that's exactly what every Christian should do after they've been born again. They should start thinking about their family and their friends. Oh, friends, if you really honestly believed in a burning hell like the Bible says there is for those who don't accept Jesus, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night thinking your dear sweet mother will be going to hell. And you have the answer. You see, but Mom gets mad at me. So did my two brothers. And it took me 26 years to introduce my oldest brother to Christ. And the youngest brother was 23 years of praying. Never quit praying for your loved ones. Never quit praying for your friends. John 4:29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You see, Jesus said one day, he said, I must go to Samaria. What in the world's Jesus talking about? His disciples looked at him puzzled, said, the Jews and the Samaritans don't like each other. Jesus said, I must needs go. Oh, friends, when there's a lost soul, Jesus will go anywhere to reach that soul. And even on this broadcast, right now, he's seeking your heart. Your old heart's a-pounding like a trip hammer, and you're thinking, oh, my. Oh, how I would like to know peace with God. How I'd like to know that Jesus loves me. Well, I'm here to tell you he does. And as an alcoholic, I felt the same way. Surely God doesn't love alcoholics. You know, when the Bible says that the drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's if they're not converted. But once they're converted, he changes. Same way with a homosexual. The homosexuals think that we as Christians are self-righteous and we don't love them. That's a lie out of hell. I'll sit down and talk to a homosexual as well as I would anybody. You see, no, we don't agree with their sin. And you say we're self-righteous. You're going to have to look in the Word of God and find out the Bible says that you won't go to heaven. It's God that's telling you. However, wait a minute now. Don't you turn me off. He said, if you'll repent of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord, he'll save you. And he'll deliver you from alcoholism and from homosexuality. He sure will. He did me. And he don't love me a bit more. He loves you. Remember in Acts 21:13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, Saul, the old bloodthirsty persecutor, he thought he was doing God a service by killing Christians and beating them up and putting them in prison. And boy, howdy, one day on the road to Damascus, the Lord struck old Saul down and knocked his eyes off and put him blind. And he said, I got a job for you, Paul, and you're going to do it too. And oh, listen, Paul literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. How many books in the New Testament that was written by Paul? Listen, you remember the Philippian jailer. And he took them to the same hour at the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. You know what? He'd beaten Paul and Silas on all those men unmercifully. But God was so pleased that Paul and them weren't complaining. They were singing praises, and the Lord shook the old prison, and the wall, then the doors came off. But they didn't escape, and the jailer thought he was going to have to commit suicide. But he said, do yourself no harm. And he said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he cleaned up the wounds of those men and took them to his house. And there Paul and Silas introduced his family to Christ. And even at midnight, they went out there and got baptized. Friends, listen, you see, Cecil, I'm trying reformation. Good works won't do it. What you need is transformation. Now, if you feel in your heart tonight that you would like to put your trust in Jesus, oh, listen, let me lead you in a sinner's prayer, okay? Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Oh, friends, if you prayed that prayer, won't you drop me a card? Cecil Moe, Post Office Box 745, Littleton, Colorado 80120. Give me your phone number and I'll contact you. Listen, I won't ask you for any money. I don't do that. I don't ask for money. I don't beg for money. I preach the gospel because he called me, not because I want to make a buck or two. Okay, listen, friends, if I can help you spiritually, be sure and contact me. Give me your phone number so I can call you. Just write to Cecil Moe, Post Office Box 745, Littleton, Colorado 80120. I'll be waiting to get your letter so I can help you.